Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final hour on this best of the Steve Jones Show on this Wednesday. Matt Cotrillo here with you. Steve on his way back from Bloomington, Indiana, from the Big Ten Broadcaster Golf Tournament. He'll be back with us tomorrow from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai. Great selection of new and pre-owned inventory, and a great sales staff that is there for you, not just there for the sale. They're there to actually save you money, make sure that you get the deal that you're looking for the right car that's right for you, and a service department that is there for you with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance, and more of those awesome technicians are being sought right now by Sunbury Motors. If you're interested, you can give Todd a call at 570-286-7746. Or you can check them out online at sunburymotors.com. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. A replay now of Action Network College Football Insider Brett McMurphy, who joined us on Monday's show, and recapping what's going on right now with the latest of the Magnificent Seven in the ACC, the Big Ten media deal, the latest controversy surrounding that, the latest with the continuing stalemate with the Pac-12, all that and more with Brett McMurphy, who joined us on Monday's show.
Brett McMurphy joining us from the Action Network. Brett, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, good to talk to you again. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing really well, and it's great to talk with you as always. Okay, so let's get to it and get right out of the gate with some interesting stuff. Pac-12, ESPN, right? Everybody's been saying, oh, they're going to be involved in some way, shape, or form. What have you heard about any talks, if any?
Well, Andrew Marchand of the New York Post reported today that basically ESPN was no longer in serious discussions with Pac-12. Dennis Dodd had reported that also, actually 2 or 3 weeks ago, when the Pac-12 were having their spring meetings. And then The Athletic reported just the opposite. I've been told for a couple months that ESPN would not be part of the Pac-12 at the amount the Pac-12 wants. So in theory, I guess ESPN could have some kind of Pac-12 relationship, but it's not going to be for the money the Pac-12 is seeking. So the question is, you know, how low will the Pac-12 go? ESPN is not going to overbid for this. If anything, they're going to underbid with all the financial issues they're having with layoffs and also trying to, you know, figure out how much they want to have going forward, whether it's the NBA, NFL. Certainly the 12-team college football playoff is going to cost a lot. So, you know, everything I've heard kind of mirrors what Dennis and Andrew have been reporting, in that ESPN will not be the primary partner for the Pac-12 unless you get to the point where the Pac-12 is so desperate where ESPN can get the Pac-12 for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, and that makes complete sense, which puts them in a tough spot. You also wrote a really terrific article on the Magnificent Seven. Look, Jim Phillips has nothing to do with any problems that they have. He's the one that's in charge of solving it. What is a solution, or are they even close to that?
I was hoping you'd tell me, because then I could tell Jim. I mean, they're just in a bad spot. I mean, they really are, and it's you know, everyone wants to blame Jim Phillips. It's not his fault. He didn't create this. But then also, you know, everyone's saying, well, John Swofford put him in this position. He did, but if people have, you know, they have selective memories. When this happened back in 2016, the ACC got the grant of rights. They got a 10-year, the 20-year deal. They got a 20-year deal to keep the conference together. At that point, the Big 12 was, you know, a possibility for Florida State. They had Board of Regents members saying that Florida State wanted to go to the Big 12. It was right around when Maryland had went to the Big 10. And so basically the ACC, you know, did this grant of rights deal. They got an ACC network, which is a huge thing back then. And I kept the conference together. That was the good news. The bad news is it's a 20-year deal. And, you know, looking back at it, you know, everyone's, you know, 2020 vision, but, you know, did the ACC really need a network? Well, they felt like they did because the Big Ten had one, the SEC had one. So now you sign a 20-year grant of rights, and as I wrote, you know, the other day, you know, basically to sum up the position the ACC's in right now, we can look at the wise words of that great historian Meatloaf from Paradise by the Dashboard Light. I swear I'll love you till the end of time, and now I'm praying for the end of time. So that's kind of the situation the ACC schools are in, because the Magnificent Seven, which I called them, they all would leave in a heartbeat to get an opportunity to play in the Big Ten or the SEC. More specifically, get the money that they would get by being in the Big Ten or the SEC.
So my question would be then, Brett, is that if you are a TV network, what is the impetus for you to give more money if you already have deals that have a set number on them? Because we know the Big Ten has some clause in it about Notre Dame, but nobody else.
Well, what specific network or conferences are you talking about? Because it's different for everyone.
Right. Well, the Big Ten would be the one that has the clause in it.
Yeah. So if you're the Big Ten, you've got 16 schools right now. Obviously, next year with SC and UCLA coming on board. So the question is, can you increase your – you're already decided you're going to be a national conference. So if you could get into – you know, Oregon, I reported Oregon and Washington have been vetted and approved if the Big Ten wants to go that way. You know, do you go west? Do you hope that somebody from the ACC climbs over the wall and gets out of the grant of rights? We won't know until somebody tries to do it. But if you're the Big Ten and you can get into the state of Florida, I'm sure that would increase the amount of your TV deal per school. Now, I'm just not talking overall value, but I'm talking after you add in the new members, after you divide the pie up, if it's a bigger piece of pie than you had with a 16-team league,
right,
then that would be the incentive to move forward. The unknown is, what is Fox, you know, what does Fox's numbers tell them, CBS, NBC? What does the Big Ten tell them, you know? The Nebraska, I'm sure you saw the stuff. I tweeted it. And
yes.
The Omaha
Ted
World
Carter.
Herald reported. You know, basically he's the first one that's come out right out and said, yeah, there's going to be more expansion. I give him credit. He's being honest. He's saying what everybody's saying privately, but to hear it from a university president, I think it even adds more credibility. But the question is, if you're the Big Ten, you know, how big do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And ultimately, they're not going to do any. Nobody has added any teams to make less money. So if they can't make more money, then they'll stay at 16. But if it's worth more money, again, per school, then I think the Big Ten would go to 18, go to 20. Mm-hmm. Let's get 5 or 10 years down the road. I think they'll be at 24. So will the SEC. But I think the SEC is going to hold pat at 16. Unless the Big Ten decides they're going to expand beyond 16, then I think the SEC would match them. And then it could get fascinating if you're into these sort of things with teams like North Carolina or maybe even a Virginia, where both the SEC and Big Ten would really want possibly both of those universities because they're not currently in states that they're located. And you could get, you know, a weird kind of bidding war for those schools if any of the schools from the ACC are able to get out before 2036.
Because North Carolina and Virginia happen to be AAU schools, and Florida State, for example, is not. And we've, at least in the past, Big Ten presidents have valued that above all. But is this more unpredictable now because there are eight new Big Ten presidents?
You know, it really is. And also, and I know Kevin Warren's no longer the commissioner there, but I spoke to Kevin at Big Ten Media Day last year, and I asked him point blank, is it a requirement for any new members to be AAU members? And he told me no. He's no longer the commissioner. Has that stance changed? I don't know. I don't have that answer. I'll try to find that out this July when I get a chance to talk to the new commissioner. But I think you're onto something. That it is a different environment. I think they're going to look at things differently. And the tricky thing about, I mean, Florida State's a huge brand, no matter what their success is,
right?
On the field, they're still a huge brand. There's a reason that they're opening up Sunday night prime time against LSU. They're a big TV draw. So with Florida State, I was talking about, and you mentioned Carolina and Virginia, AAU schools, and Florida State's not. If you gave Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, truth serum and said, do you want to add Florida State Miami, he'd say no. But then if you still had some left over and said, okay, well, what if the Big Ten is going to add Florida State Miami? What are your thoughts on Florida State Miami then? I think at that point the SEC may say, we don't really want those guys because we already have the University of Florida. We're fine in the state of Florida. But we also don't want our biggest competitors to come into the state either. And so that's where this whole thing's going to get fascinating when and if some of these guys get out of the ACC is kind of the jockeying for position between the Big Ten and the SEC on some of these potential members, because we're no longer the Power Five, we're the Power Two, the Middle Three, and the Group Five. So those two leagues will determine, you know, where all the pieces are moved on the board, if you will, kind of like the old game of Risk.
Where is Brett Yormark of the Big 12 in all of this, in your opinion?
He'd love to add some Power 5 schools, but, you know, it takes two to tango. I think we'll know something by July 1st if Colorado or Arizona decide that they want to leave the Pac-12. I think we would know that by July 1st. If they decide to stay in the Pac-12, if the Pac-12 can't sign a grant of rights, if Oregon and Washington are still in the Pac-12, then, the Big 12 has a decision to make. Do they want to go after some Group of Five schools? It'd be quicker to tell you who they haven't talked to be honest, than list everyone they have talked to. The reason for getting them is you're getting someone at a lower value. That you bring them on board, they'll increase value, hopefully pay off for you. The flip side of that is you can get these same teams a year from now, so why do anything now? So I think Yormark is gonna wait to see what happens. If anybody leaves the Pac-12, certainly they would extend an olive branch. And if getting a couple of years further down the road, if some of these schools in the ACC get out and there's a way out of the grant of rights, and then it's a mass exodus out of the ACC, then certainly I think the Big 12 would make a pitch to any schools that were not picked up by the Big 10 and the SEC to kind of join forces with the Big 12. And at that point, you'd have the Big Two, you'd have the Big 12 with, 14, 16, 18, whatever members they could get. And then if all of that had happened, then basically the Pac-12 would have merged or joined forces with the Mountain West. the ACC, whatever's left over, would have kind of taken teams from the American or whatever. So then you'd kind of have the Big Two, whatever the Big 12 would be, and then whatever's left of the conferences in whatever fashion that may be.
Yeah, because to me, with the NBA rights up and the college football playoff rights coming up, I see networks saving money to make the big bids.
And the biggest and baddest of all, and that's the NFL.
Yeah, in the NFL, right? I mean, that's where they want to put their money, and those rights are coming up. So that's why I'm wondering how much money is left for everybody else. Well, Brett, it is always a pleasure because you always have great information, but that's always been your MO.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm just glad I got to, you know, watch the Meatloaf video this past week and make sure I had the lyrics right.
That was the best line of the article, by the way. I loved it. So thanks so much.
And Twitter, I know you got to go. Twitter's so great because you always have funny responses. Somebody, I forgot the one Meatloaf song, "I Would Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That." I guess I should have thrown that in there too for the ACC.
Well, at least you got it, slipped it in on this show, and that's good. Hey,
so all you youngsters out there, go Google Meatloaf, Dashboard Paradise by the Dashboard Light. You'll enjoy it.
Thanks so much, Brett.
You got it. Thanks, Steve.
And that is Action Network college football insider Brett McMurphy, who joined us on Monday's show. Coming up in the final half hour, another former Nittany Lion for you, former quarterback Matt McGloin. In the final half hour, he joined us a few weeks ago recapping the spring game. He was on the sideline for the Big Ten Network, so we'll replay that coming up in the final half hour of today's show. And plus, also, too, don't forget, we've got the replay of the big announcement we made regarding Penn State football starting next fall, so you don't want to miss that in case you missed that. And we had that announcement a few weeks ago. All coming up in the final half hour here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour here on the Steve Jones Show. Best of here on this Wednesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve, we'll be back tomorrow from the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Former Nittany Lion Matt McGloin joined us a couple of months ago after he was on the sideline for the Big Ten Network for the Penn State spring game, and a replay of that now from a few weeks ago.
Now let's bring in Matt McGloin. Matt, first of all, welcome, and I'm on SiriusXM Monday with Ben Hartsock and Robbie Hummel, and the first thing they have to bring up is, you know, you.
Oh, is that right? What do they have to say, Steve?
Oh, just, you know, he said, lately you haven't been as available. And I said, well, I said, he's trying to win a race. Right now. And I pointed out to them, I said, in the county, he's trying to win. I said, is where they portrayed the office. They go, oh.
So. Well, Steve, I always have time for you. I appreciate you having me on the show. It's good to hear your voice, man. And I look forward to catching up with you here over the next 12, 14 minutes.
That sounds great. Let's start with the quarterbacks. You watched them on the field level. They got a lot of pressure on them during the course of the scrimmage. What were the impressions you had when you were done with the game?
Yeah, you know, look, and you know, obviously you're not the first person that has brought up to me, you know, the pressure that the quarterbacks dealt with at times in the past game there on Saturday. Now, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, throughout spring ball or even in the NFL, Steve, OTAs, minicamp, you know, the defense is ahead of where the offense is, the defense is ahead where the offense is. When you play offense, right, you don't like when people say that. But, you know, as a radio, you know, as a radio personality or as a broadcaster, when you look back on it, that is a little bit true, right? It still takes guys, you know, time to get comfortable playing with one another on the offensive side of the football, understanding protections, understanding responsibilities. That stuff does take time. And even for these young quarterbacks, right, you got to remember, for, you know, as mature as they have looked at times, right, this is still a process for them. They're still understanding what Mike Yurcich wants out of them. They're still understanding how to be able to process that information that they're seeing every single day. Yeah, I don't want to call them robots, Steve, but, you know, right now they're looking at everything. They're going through their progression, right? They're seeing the whole entire picture, and that's fantastic. But it'll get to the point, Steve, where they really understand it, right? That they're able to understand coverage, where they want to go with the football. They'll be able to eliminate routes based off of defenses, things like that, and then they'll start to get rid of the football a lot quicker, not hold on to it as long as, you know, maybe on Saturday. But, you know, I think there were flashes. I think it was very encouraging from both guys, Aller and Prabula. There's a lot of talent there. You know, I look forward to seeing how that competition plays itself out. But Steve, and I think this is one of the obvious things, and I think everybody saw it, is that when it comes to those two quarterbacks, they need to be able to find consistency. Now they don't.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sitting here saying they need to put the team on their back. They don't have to do that. They just have to understand what Mike Yurcich wants out of them, play their game, rely on the run game, rely on the depth that they have at that offensive line, and use the talent of the wide receiver, and understand what they have defensively and how special that defensive unit is.
Well, and you understand this better than anybody, because if you're there for all 15 of them, there are some days where the defense looked like they did on Saturday. But there are also days where the offense won. There are also days where it was even. So you need, I think, that full perspective to understand. And you get that because you were in that spot. There were some days where you were out there, the defense just, it was their day. There are some days where we're out there, and guess what? They couldn't stop you. And there are days where it was even. And you understand that better than anybody.
Oh, of course you're going to have those days. You're going to have great days. You're also going to have days that are very humbling. You know, you're right, but that's part of the process too. And you know, Steve, one of the things, like, you know, as much as people don't want to talk about it, like, you get tired of going against the same exact defense every single
no
day.
Doubt.
And I
no
know there's doubt. There's been a lot of coaches talking about, you know, the possibility of scrimmaging other teams, you know, in their spring game, you know, similar to what the NFL does where they do those joint practices. So that'll be an interesting topic to see moving forward. Obviously, there's a lot of pros and cons with that. But, you know, it gets to a point sometimes where you're almost game planning to play against your own offense or game planning to go against, you know, your own defense. But no, the competition is good. It's very good right now. You know, and again, I think there was some really, really positive things to take away from that blue-white game on Saturday.
As a quarterback, how physical do you need your wide receivers to be against corners?
Extremely. You know, you can't. You don't have time, Steve, to wait for him. Almost in a way. You know, I mean, there are certain. you know, there's certain moments in games, there's certain plays, there's certain times where he has to work, and you have to understand that. But if I'm playing progression football, if I'm going through a concept or you know, it's cover two or it's cover four and I got to get through my read and my progression, you're getting beat up at the line of scrimmage, I can't wait on you. I got to get off because I can't take the time to, you know, wait on you while these other routes are developing and other guys are working to get open. So these guys have to be physical at the line of scrimmage. I mean, the way I think of it, Steve, is all, you got one move. Right, I can't have you waiting at the line of scrimmage, making two moves, maybe three moves to try to get open. You got one move to be physical and to get open and get off the ball and try to get open. Now, as a quarterback, you have a pretty good feeling of knowing when a guy is going to get a good release or a clean release or when he's battling and he's going to eventually win that. But you also, as well, see when, listen, no, I got to get off this. I got to go. I got to move. And then you got to let them know. You got to say, "Hey, listen, man. You know, you got to understand, right? We're playing progression football right here. You got to do a better job of getting off the line of scrimmage. Be physical with him. If he knows he's in a battle, he's going to lay off a little bit. He's going to back off you a little bit here. But if he's beating up on you, you can expect him to be in your face for four quarters."
Because on the touchdown play to Amari Evans. Some people said to me, he said, "Boy, they probably should have called offensive pass interference on the play." And I said, "Yeah, maybe." I said, "But that doesn't bother me. Guess what? He got the guy out of the way and got himself open." And to me, that showed something to me on Evans' part that he was willing to be physical with somebody to get himself open.
Exactly. Yeah, you want those guys in your football team, right? You want guys that are going to be physical. You want guys that are trying to work to get the football. I thought it was a great job. I think a lot of officials as well. They're going to let guys be physical. Right? They're going to let guys play for most of the time. And heck, too. You know, if you're getting an offensive pass interference call for being too physical and trying to work to get open, if you're a coach, I don't understand how you can get frustrated with a kid for doing that.
No, I absolutely agree with that. You're going to get pressure in the games. That's why left tackles are so important. You watch the pressure from Chop Robinson to deny Dennis Sutton. As pure pass rushers, what did you think?
You know, I said this early last season when Chop Robinson was just getting comfortable at Penn State and in that defense, that he had the potential of becoming one of, if not the best pass rusher that they have. He's extremely quick. He's extremely strong. You can tell he understands the game too, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, he's a smart player. I expect big things from Chop Robinson this year. And then obviously, you know, a guy like Dennis Sutton, who's a sophomore who has a lot of potential. I mean, there's a lot of guys, Steve, and a lot of names on that defensive side of the ball, especially up in that front four, that you can point to and say, "I expect big things out of him."
Yeah, I agree with that, Matt, and that's important. The off season, everybody talks about leadership. It shows in the winter workouts. It shows in the spring, but I think it shows a lot this time of the year because the players have to organize some elements themselves. Matt, when you were there, how important was that element because you were the unquestioned leader?
Yeah, you gotta get on the phone. You know, hey, we're having a throwing session today at 5:30. Hopefully, you can make it. And that's it. You know, I mean, you have to be able to reach out to these guys. You have to be able to schedule with these guys and say, "Listen, guys, we understand we're working out in the morning. We understand we're doing conditioning drills. You have to do everything you can to get healthy, to take care of your body." You know, but at the same time, we got to get these concepts in. We have to get these plays down. These young quarterbacks, they got to get used to spitting out the verbiage to understand what they're seeing. I talked about being somewhat robotic, right? When you start training camp, that's got to go away, right? You got to start playing fast. You got to start putting together. You're on the clock once training camp kicks off. You can't waste time. You can't waste days, and you can't waste practices because there's not enough to go around. So right now, right, you got to be out there every single day. Steve, I'm not patting myself on the back, but there were days where I would just take the net around, and I'd grab a bag of balls, I would push the net around the turf field, and you know, throw five or six balls in one run. I pick up my bag of balls, I drop them 5 yards up, and I walk down to the net. 5 yards, I put it on the other side and throw another route. I mean, and you would just, you walk up the field and visualize it. You say the plan in your head. You think over the play. It's a process. We're all creatures of habit, right? So the more you get into a routine, the more you get used to it, the more you get comfortable with it, it becomes that much easier for you. And again, when you're breaking a new quarterback, it's about team bonding as well. You got to get to know these guys. You got to get to respect these guys. I'm not saying you have to be best friends with your teammates, right? But you know, it's you have to truly become a team. And you're absolutely right. The importance of this time right now here in the summer, it's crucial to how your team develops. It's crucial to how you show up to training camp so you can hit the ground running.
And for everybody who understands, when Matt was throwing into the net, it would be placing the net, but then you would go through footwork, progression, and then make the throw. So it was more than just simply throwing into a net.
I was lucky because, you know, when you had a guy like Bill O'Brien, you had a guy like Charlie Fisher, or even professionally, you know, everything you did was game speed. So, Steve, any quarterback can drop back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and just throw the ball into a net. Run it. Right. You have to be able to put yourself in a game. So if you're working the right side of the field, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't have my first one. I don't have my second one. Now I'm hitching up into the pocket or I'm moving past the pass rusher, resetting my hips and delivering the football on the field. That's what you're talking about. That's the stuff that these guys have to be doing right now. They have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Right. So this is important time. But again, these seem like two hungry quarterbacks who want to do well, who want to learn. Yeah. And again, you got a guy like Mike Yurcich who's been around a long time, so I'm sure he's telling them the same thing.
Matt, always a pleasure, my friend. It's just great just tossing it around with you. I appreciate it so much.
Anytime, thank you.
That is former Nittany Lion quarterback Matt McGloin. Always good catching up with him. Good to see him on the sideline for the Big Ten Network during the spring game, and we'll look forward to staying in touch with him as we get closer and into the next college football season. Well, before we wrap it up for today's show, we're now going to replay real quick a big announcement that Steve made regarding where you can listen to Penn State football starting this fall. Here was that from a few weeks ago.
Here's what we're going to do. This is going to be a fun announcement for us. Penn State football is going to move to Eagle 107 starting this season. And the reason it's going to Eagle 107 starting this season is strength of schedule, clarity that FM is just has such great clarity to it, the strength of signal in night games especially. And with this NBC deal, there is a possibility of more night games being on the schedule for Penn State football. Starting this season, Penn State basketball will continue on WKOK 1070, as will the Thursday talk show with Coach Franklin and now with Mike Rhodes that will run from this year. It's going to be August 31st all the way till I think something like March 8th or 9th. And then, of course, there's one before the Blue White game in April. But WKOK will continue to air Penn State basketball. And the talk show on Thursday night, Eagle 107 will now be the new home for Penn State football here in the Valley.
So there you have it. Eagle 107, your new home for Penn State football starting this fall, which will be, of course, under the lights against West Virginia, Labor Day weekend. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing Eagle 107 be the new home of Penn State football. So we are definitely excited for that. And, of course, we're excited to keep Penn State basketball and the coaches show right here on WKOK starting this fall again as well. That's going to do it for this edition of a Best of the Steve Jones Show. Steve is back tomorrow as he makes his way back from the Big Ten broadcasters golf outing in Bloomington, Indiana. So we'll catch up with Steve once again tomorrow from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a brand new edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.